We want to thank you for listening today. This audio sermon is a ministry of Faith Baptist Church, a place where you belong. Now let's listen as Pastor Todd Adams brings a message of truth from God's Word.
I'm so glad you're here this morning, and it's always a joy to worship with you guys and gals. And got to get that right. You know, we got to be politically correct. Is that right? How about we just be biblically correct? Amen? Just be biblically correct. And speaking of biblically correct, you'll notice if you have a handout this morning, the back of the bulletin says selected texts. And some of you are like, I want to turn somewhere. All right, go to Acts. I just picked that because I thought it'd be a great place to go to. So, no, you can turn to Acts if you'd like. We're going to be there in just a minute. How many of you, let me just ask this. If I was to do a poll here real quick this morning, just help me out with this. Now, this is a dangerous question, so this whole thing could backfire, and if it does, we'll just dismiss in prayer and get out early, all right? How many of you would raise your hand and say that you're happy? Have you guys noticed? That's most of you. The rest of you are grouches. All right, now, have you guys noticed, though, that people who tend to tell you they're happy, sometimes you're wondering if that's true? You ever met a lady named Joy, and she doesn't represent her name very well? Have you ever? You know what I'm talking about, right? We live in a time, it seems to me, where people are trying to sell you happiness. Have you noticed that? Products, plans, people, packaging, everything is about happiness. And the thing is, it seems like for so many people, happiness is extremely elusive. And what's crazy to me, it's just crazy to me that people read the newspaper. How many of you still get a newspaper? How many of you are like, what's a newspaper, right? Yeah, people still read. How many of couponers? Have we got any couponers? You steal your neighbor's newspaper. You know who you are. We read a book. We read the internet. Did you know if you read it on the internet, it must be true, right? I mean, if you read it on the internet, then it's factual. And we somehow feel that, you know, information that we get about happiness, things that we read, if we would buy this, if we would eat this way, if we'd go on this system, if we'd have this kind of home, if we'd have all of these things we're reading all the time. And we somehow buy into the idea that if we would just do those things, then somehow, miraculously, we would then be happy. We would be a happy people. And here's what's crazy. Jesus says something about happiness. And here's the wild thing. A lot of people read what Jesus says, and here's what they think. Nah, can't be true. But we would read something on the internet and believe it. We would read something in the newspaper and believe it. We would listen to Gossiping Betty or Gossiping Joe. If your name's Betty or Joe, I'm not singling you out. I'm just saying. And we would believe that. But when Jesus says something, we're like, I don't think that's true. What if I told you this morning that the key to being happy, the key to, I can't help, blessed. How many of you would want to be blessed this morning? Say amen. Amen. If you didn't put your hand up, I can't help you. All right? If you didn't say amen, I can't help you. Okay? I'm sure all of us in here want to be blessed. How many of you would say, okay, I want that, and that's what I want, but would you believe that it's found not so much in giving, but in simply being generous? If you're in Acts, I want to read this verse to you. Acts chapter 20, verse 35. It should be on the screen for you. If you don't have a Bible, you can read this on the screen. It says, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said. It's on the screen. Let's all read it together. Are you ready? Ready? It is more to give than to receive. I have a big question for you. Don't answer out loud, okay? Do you actually believe that? I just said don't answer out loud. You guys are so disobedient, man. I know where your kids get it now, all right? Now, I'm kind of glad you said yes, because we say that. We say, oh, yeah, it is more blessed to give. Jesus is right. That's the key. I don't know that we really believe that. I'm not convinced. See, when Paul said these words, he's speaking to his ministry team, his leaders. He's departing. He's about to take a missionary journey. And he speaks these words in a way as if to say, hey guys, you know what Jesus said. This is the teaching of Jesus. These are all the elders and pastors and leaders of the churches that he had planted and the leadership there. And it's one of the most emotional passages in the New Testament. They're weeping, they're crying. Paul's leaving. It's just this whole emotional scene. And Paul says to them, remember what Jesus said, guys. Now you know this. It's more blessed to what? Say it again. We're going to have Bible memorization before we leave today. It's more blessed to what? Give than to receive. Now, if you go to find it and you start looking for where Jesus said that, guess what? You're not going to find it. You're not going to be able to go. Now, a lot of times when Jesus would quote passages, you could go to Isaiah or Jeremiah or a Psalm. When Paul would quote something, you could go back and say, oh yes, these were the words, or this disciple, they quote that. But in this section, when Paul says, remember the words of Jesus. Now, we have to understand something. It's not so much the words that Jesus taught as it is the way of life that Jesus modeled. You see, they knew what Jesus taught. They knew how Jesus lived. And he's basically saying, guys, remember, as I leave and as you're teaching the churches and as you're taking the helm of leadership, remember what Jesus said. Remember how he lived. Remember, it's more blessed to say it. The way of life that Jesus taught is the way of generosity. You see, the closer you get to God, the more generous you will become. The closer you get to God, the more generous you will become. Everybody say that with me. The closer you get to God, the more generous you will become. Now make it personal. Drop the you and let's say I. Ready? The closer I get to God, the more generous I will become. Because some of you are like, you will become. Yeah, honey, you need to be more generous. No. Let's say it together. I. Ready? The closer I get to God, the more generous I will become. Here's the thing. Most of us don't think, we don't think, and we don't feel that we're rich. But we think and feel we're generous. We don't think and feel we're rich, but we actually think and feel we're generous. You see, the natural reaction when someone says, you're not generous, is to do this. Oh, yeah? Well, I remember that one time I gave. Yeah, I remember that. I remember that time. You know, there was a missionary. I like put 10 bucks in there, man. Don't even. I'm real generous. I left a $5 tip, man. I'll have you know. I'm a generous guy. I'm a generous gal. I gave once. 2 years ago. I remember the thing. Note this morning. Giving and generosity are not the same thing. Please don't get confused. Don't think, just because you gave something, don't think that equals generosity. We're running down a bad road if that's the case. You see, stewardship is not about one area of your life. It's about your entire life. And being generous is the goal. Giving is the result of being generous. See, we just run around telling everybody, give, 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 give. Soon that just ends. That just ends in frustration. Generosity is the goal. Giving is the result. Anybody can give. Is that true? Anybody can give? I mean, we can prove it. I can get the ushers. We can do an offering right now. And we'll do one at the end. We'll do a double header. How about that? You know I can do it, right? Anyone can do a random act of kindness. Right? You ever driving down the road and all of a sudden you hit the brakes? Like, what's going on? And you see some guy get out of his car and he picks up a turtle. 2 seconds later, that guy's in the parking lot saying words he shouldn't say, pointing people in a direction with his fist he shouldn't point. He did a random act of kindness for a turtle, but that doesn't mean he's a kind guy. Someone say amen. Amen. Anybody can be kind. Anybody can give. Listen, lost people can come to church and write a big check and put it in the offering plate. Praise Jesus. Doesn't make him generous. Doesn't make him generous. In fact, most giving is done to soothe our guilty conscience for not being generous. That's the truth. Most giving, even in churches, I know, it's bad, isn't it? Most giving is done because we want to soothe our guilty conscience because deep in us, we're really not that generous. You see, giving is in the DNA of most people in the United States. I don't have time to prove all this to you. You can just research it yourself. You'll find what I'm saying is very accurate. No other nation gives more. I'm talking Americans. None. I'm not just talking by a little bit. I'm talking by a lot. A huge amount. When you talk about people who give to charities and give to organizations and disaster relief. And I mean, everybody knows if you go to the U.S., you're going to get money. All it takes is some really cool pictures and some sad faces and a guy with a booming voice. And people are like, oh man, honey, we ought to give. And here comes the money. Now, that's the reality of the DNA of the West. You see, and the reason we're that way is because our nation was founded upon godly principles. Great spot for an amen. There was a godly principle of being generous and giving. But I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but our country's moving further and further away from that. And the further away from God you get, the less generous you become. And because we're moving further away from God, giving in general drops. I shared with you last week, giving in most churches is now below the Depression era. 50% of all people sitting in church, faithful members and attenders, aren't even giving anything. 50% in the average church. Not because we have less. How many of you know right now you have more than your parents had for the most part? Say amen. Okay, my dad was telling me the other day, I remember when a burger was 15 cents. I'm like, Dad, was that back when they had airplanes or, okay? How many of you remember when gas was cheap? Remember that? Somebody said, yeah, at night it was free. Not that kind of cheap. See? And you look at the cost of things, and the truth is everyone sitting in here, we can understand that we have less, but we lose our generosity. And it gets strangled because it seems like the more we get, listen to me, friends, the greedier you get. It's the mindset. It's easy to have the argumentative attitude of the children of Israel in the book of Malachi when God said, will a man rob? Yeah, the answer is answer. Let's try that again. Will a man rob God? Yeah, the answer is yes. Very good. And but they're like us. What do you mean I'm not generous? And they're like, God, what are you talking about? Here's the question. When did we rob you? Listen, you don't ever want to ask God to remind you of something you didn't do. Guess what? Bam! You're going to remember. Oh, yeah. Forgot about that. When did we rob you? God, what are you talking about? God was clear. He said, I'll tell you what you've robbed me. You've robbed me in tithes and offerings. See, a Jewish person was giving about 27% of their income. It was called the tithes. There was the temple shekel tax, there was the first of the year tax, there was the first fruit tax, there was all of these things, and God called those tithes percentages that you were to give. Those were tithes. And then after you gave all of your tithes, hey, are you listening? After you gave all your tithes, then he said, now bring an offering. Don't talk about tithing when you're not, you know, listen, we could argue the percentage all day long. Don't talk about offering if you're not even tithing. That doesn't make sense. So the Lord said, listen, I'll tell you where you've robbed me. You've robbed me in both places. You've robbed me in tithes and offerings. Our reaction to being told we're not generous is the same. I am generous. I do give. I bought a can of soup for 111. I mean, I'm really generous. That one time I gave last year at Christmas in the candlelight service. I had 20 in my pocket. I gave. Lord, don't call me a robber and a thief. Can I just say this as lovingly as I can? If you have to recall what you gave to remind yourself you're generous, you're not. If you have to recall what you gave to remind yourself that you actually are generous, you're not. You might give now and again, but being generous is a character issue. God told the prophet Haggai, you guys ever read the Old Testament? How's the Old Testament character problem? Okay, we'll read Haggai. He had a little talk to the people. They had a character problem, and God said, there's some words you need to share. And as you read the book of Haggai, or Haggai as some might want to say it, it's like he could be talking to the average Christian in America. Here's what he says. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You've sown much, but you bring in what? You eat, but you don't have enough. You drink, but you're not filled. You clothe, but you're not warm. You earn wages, and you put it into a bag with holes. There's a picture. Say, where's all your money? Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your what? Now, he doesn't say consider your giving. He doesn't say consider your tithing. He doesn't say consider your offering. He says consider your living. Look how you live. Because how you live is how you'll give. And so he said, look at how you live. Look at what you do with the provisions that you're given. No matter how much you get, you're always needing more. And you're always chasing the wrong thing. And that's why Jesus says it's more blessed to give than... One more time, it's more blessed to... than receive. Your life is blessed and you are happy when you're generous. And by the way, if you're not generous, you're probably not very happy. See, generosity is a state of being. Giving is doing something. Generosity is who we're supposed to be. Be blessed. Have a blessed life. Giving just flows out of the generosity of our heart. They're linked, but they're not the same, because givers can give and not be generous, but generous people can always be spotted, not only because they give, but here's the secret. Write this down. Because they're happy. They're happy. I've never met a miserable, generous person. Never. I'm so generous, I'm miserable. It doesn't even go together. You meet a generous person, they're happy. Why? Generosity just flows out of them. See, I'm not sure now. Listen, go back to this original thing. I'm just not sure. Listen, confession's good for the soul. Everybody turn to your neighbor and say, you ought to confess something. Go ahead. All right, it's good for the soul. Here's my confession, okay? I'm going to tell you this right now. Just listen carefully. Listen to your pastor for 1 second, okay? I read this verse for years and said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. I'm like, all right. But I kind of like receiving. Oh, come on. Don't look so pious. How many of you like receiving? Say amen. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't lie in church. All right? Don't lie in church, right? Say, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And we're like, yeah, but I like receiving a lot. Somebody says, I have the gift of receiving. No, you don't. You might think you have the gift of receiving, but you don't have the gift of receiving. Okay? We say things like, I don't have the gift of giving. Oh, I guess you mean you don't have to then. Sorry. We're going to receive the offering now. If you don't have the gift of giving, it's fine. Sit there and grieve the Spirit. We'll be good with that. Giving is not my strong point. I'm working on being a better giver. We're missing the picture. The issue is found in stewardship. It's yielding our lives to the Savior, and in turn, we become generous as we believe His words and we follow His example. So here's the first thing this morning. Stewardship is a trust. Back to basics, steadfast in my stewardship. Stewardship is a trust. Look, the reality is everybody in this room right now is rich. You can argue that all you want to. Get on a plane, go to a third world country. Boom, done. You'll end the argument. You'll end the argument. It's our reality, whether we want to believe it or not. And by the way, God's not against being rich. He's not against being wealth, okay? Having wealth and being a wealthy person, and our natural reaction is to look at rich people and get envious and jealous and think, well, if I had your money and if I had the... Okay? And there's somebody looking at you saying the same thing. There's somebody that wants your life. There's somebody that wants the money in your bank yesterday when we gave them. You say, it's not much. It's more than what they have. I met about 108 of them yesterday when we gave away 108 baskets. Okay? So please don't try to sit there and say you're not rich. You're rich. You're very rich. And so the Lord says to Timothy, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not what? High-minded, arrogant, haughty, proud, boastful, and trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly what? All things to enjoy. We either trust God or we don't. Riches are a trust. That's why some of us start freaking out when it's time to give. And we're like, oh man, I gotta trust you, God. Right. You either trust in God, the righteous ruler, or you trust in uncertain riches. Let me show you where your earthly riches are headed. Proverbs says, labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Money only ever says one thing. Goodbye. That's it. Here's how you know if you're gripped by greed and not generous. You're filled with worry and controlled by a consumer mindset. You're worrying, are we going to have enough? 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 The Bible just said He's going to provide for you. He just got through saying that. Jesus just said, it's more blessed to... You're losing it. More blessed to... There you go. You overcome worrying about riches, are you listening? By not trusting in them. And trusting in the one who richly provides, as the text says. Too many of us have a consumer mindset. A consumer mindset, you might want to write this down, it's not on your handout, but a consumer mindset is rooted in what we call the consumption assumption. You say, what's the consumption assumption? The consumption assumption is this: if it comes to me, then it's for me. If it comes to me, then it's for me, then it's mine. It's like a two-year-old in a nursery. Mine, mine, mine. It's consumption assumption. If it comes to me, it's what? It's mine. It's for me. And here's what happens. You start to feed. Hey, I got to tell you guys something. Have you ever seen that show called Monsters Inside Me? How many of you have ever seen that show? This is the most disgusting show ever. You will never eat anything. You will never touch anything. You will never go to another. You'll never go to a hospital. People have things inside them growing worms. And it's just disgusting. Yeah, it's really gross. I'm sorry. Sorry. It's really nasty. Okay, some of you are like, okay. All right. Here's the thing, though. Here's the thing. Listen, I'm serious now. Here's the deal. There's a little monster inside of you. You know who it is? Listen, it's you. It's your little greed monster. And he lives in there. And when the consumption assumption kicks in, you start feeding that little joker. And that little joker becomes a big joker. And takes over your life. And every ounce of money and every penny and every dime, you're like Scrooge, you know? You're like, oh, it's for me, it's for me. And you will consume, and the more you get, the more you want, and the more you make, the more you feed the monster, and you're feeding your flesh, and you're creating an appetite that gets out of control. Look at the debt level of our country. Look at the debt level most of us are carrying. Look at the insanity, the way we think about money. It's because we're feeding our flesh. It's the consumption assumption that if it comes to me, it's for me. And here's what happens with your money. Ready? You end up seeing it flying away. It just goes and goes and goes and goes and goes and goes. And you end up wondering, will we make it? Will we make it? You see, the American mindset can quickly become very counterproductive to God's way of living. See, we think life, liberty, and the pursuit of... For most people, pursuing... Jesus said, happy making more money and owning lots of things. That's what makes me happy. Jesus said, happiness is not found in money. Happiness is found in being generous and not being greedy and not going after things that only leave you empty. So write this down. Generosity has its roots in stewardship. It's rooted in the idea that God owns everything, and what do we own? Nothing. God owns everything, I own nothing. It's saying, God, what I have is yours. I seek to please you in how I manage it. You have trusted me with it. And the further away from God we are, the less generous we are, and the more we try to hold on to that which must be released. How many of you have ever seen a little kid? He gets a little something in his hand, and you're trying to get that little something out of his hand. What happens? Can I get a witness? And you don't want to be violent, but sometimes you have to be. And you're like, you know, 200-pound man on top of a 4-year-old grabbing his wrist. Open it up! Got it. Pry it open. And it's a little Cheerio. Right? Now, here's the thing. That's how some of us must look with God. We're fighting God over a silly Cheerio. You know what Martin Luther said? He said, I've held many things in my hands, and I've lost them all, but whatever I placed in God's hand, that I still possess. Hey, Mom and Dad, when you're fighting your little one for that Cheerio. You know what your little one has forgotten? He got a whole box in the cupboard. He had a whole box in the cupboard. You don't got to eat the one off the ground. Mommy give you a whole new one. I'll give you a whole bunch. Daddy will get a new box. We somehow get in this tussle with God. We don't trust Him. You're not going to be good to me. You're going to take my money. You can't have. I got to pay for my kids' college. I got a 401. I'm going to retire next month. I can't. You're not going to have it, God. God's like, I got a whole box. I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. Why are you going to fight me for Cheerio? Stewardship, secondly, is laying up treasure. It's laying up treasure. Your life kind of boils down to a few simple things. Here they are. I'm going to give two of them to you. There's a few more, but both really comes to these two things. Who do you trust? What do you treasure? Who do you trust? What do you treasure? That's kind of what it comes down to. Ask yourself that. Who do I trust? What do I treasure? And in Matthew chapter 6, the Bible says, lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, say it with me, there will your heart be. Also, I need the balcony to help me out here a little bit. Let's say it together. For where your treasure is, say it, there be also. Where you spend and send your money is where you find your treasure. Where you spend and send your money is where you find your treasure. That's how you know. You're like, where is my treasure? Look where you spend it. Look where you send it. Look where it's going. Okay? It may be that you need to change the direction of your money. But you can't do that until you fix the compass in your heart. You can't change the direction of your money until the compass of your heart has been changed by the Holy Spirit. And so you understand that stewardship is a trust and that stewardship is laying up treasure. You see, most all the time teach you to tithe. Amen, right? All the tithers are like, amen. Most churches teach you to give. Then they want you to pledge. Then they want you to commit. Then they have a special offering. Right? How it works. You say, how do you know? I've been at this a little while. Here's the issue. We need a cultural change in our churches. And we need to learn to be generous. You can argue all day you want with me about the tithe and when it started and before the law. I'll argue with you all day. Argue with you all day about percentages and offerings and how much. And if every family was just given $30 a month to missions, we'd have about $90,000 for missions. Currently, we've just about hit our goal. We're right there, right at it. It's only half of that. We could be doing a whole lot better. Our giving could be better. We could argue all day. If you just gave 50 cents a week or a dollar a week, we could argue that all day. That is not the issue. The issue isn't arguing over pennies and percentages. The issue is asking yourself, Lord, am I a generous person? Because God sees the heart of the giver. Being generous is being like Jesus. And if I asked you, do you want to be like Jesus, what would you say? Yes. Right. That's the biblical right answer. And you know what Jesus loves? Jesus loves His church. He loves His church. And God is doing the greatest work on earth right now through the church. Is that much that He loved the church? Well, in Acts 20 and Ephesians 5, it says Christ loved the church, purchased it with His own blood. I stand behind a cross every week reminding us that we've been bought with the precious blood of Jesus. Amen? And back in Malachi, when this whole arguing thing was happening, toward the end of the chapter, what's mind-blowing is that God says, I have a precious treasure. And it's not rubies or diamonds, it's people. And here's what it says. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him and them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And listen what the Lord says. And they shall be, what? Mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my jewels. That's good stuff. And I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and between him that serveth not. So what's the application? Generous people are grateful that they have a Father who loves them. That they're treasured. And they understand that we are God's jewels. Let me ask you guys a question. Have you ever heard the phrase, man, she's a gem? You ever heard that? You ever heard somebody look at a guy and they're like, man, that guy, I tell you, boy, he's just a precious jewel. He's a gem, boy. Did you know what we're saying? We're saying they have a shine on them in their life. And part of the beauty about a person who is a precious jewel or a gem, when you look at their life, there's a beauty to their life. And what we're saying is they're generous. Generosity makes us look like God. We shine and we sparkle with His glory and His radiance, and we reflect a beauty that is not our own. And God says, you can tell people who belong to me because they're like jewels. They're precious. You see, a generous person is not known by what they give, but by how they live. Some of the most generous people I ever met were not rich people, they were poor people. They had a generous spirit about them. They gave what they had, like the widow who cast in and she said, you know what, Lord, I trust you and my treasure is not here on this earth. They have an attitude of gratitude. They've tasted the Lord's goodness. And they're taken back by being God's treasure. And the result of giving and being overwhelmed by God's goodness is that you become a generous person. Just turn to your neighbor and say, you just can't help it. Go ahead. You can't help it. You become generous. It's like, you can't help it. Like you realize God's been so good to me. Amen? And I trust Him with my finances. And God, you know what? I'm just going to give. Write this down. Stewardship is a test. It's not just a trust, and it's not just laying up treasure for that which is to come. It's a test. Now, I got to tell you, I'm going to tell you something about your pastor, and you might want to know. I do not like taking tests unless they're open book. Amen? Not a fan, okay? But here's the thing. Life is a test, isn't it? So let me be practical for a few minutes as we close. Let me make an important application about stewardship. Being generous results in you giving. What we love, are you listening? What we love, we give to. What we love, we give to. And yes, giving is a command, but more of an act of obedience as well. It's a loving response to a request from our loving Heavenly Father. It's just a loving response. Paul didn't go to the New Testament churches and browbeat them. He didn't have a big party and get all the top givers. He didn't do any of that. Here's what he said. Last chapter of his first letter to the book, or to the church of Corinth. Last chapter. Now concerning the collection for the saints. As I've given order in all the other churches, he said, just all the other churches in Galatia, same thing. All of the churches were taking up a special offering to help the mission work that was in Jerusalem. And in general, the collection for the church. So when do we do it? On the first day of the, which is what? Sunday. Today's first day of the week. All of God's people said, amen. I think this is the weekend. No, it's the first day of the week. Your weekend was yesterday. Okay. On the first day of the week, now, notice the next phrase. It's really important. Let a few of you. Let the rich. Let people who got. Let people who live in a nice house. Let people who have two camels. That's in the Greek. No. What does it say? Let what? Everyone. What does every one of you mean? This is an awesome word. You ready? It means everybody. Everybody. Every one of you lay by him in store. Now here's the phrase. As God hath. Why did Paul say this? Because he said, I don't want to be talking about this when I come. I don't want to get here and stand up here and tell you guys. I don't want any of that. Listen, work it out. Take up the collection. Do it the first day of the week. Lay it in store, meaning you know Sunday's coming. You're going to plan to give something. Have it ready when I get there. And if you keep reading, he says, and then I'll take some guys who you appoint. We'll have some accountability. We'll go back to the church at Jerusalem, and there'll be a record that it was given. You can call any one of our missionaries, and there's going to be a record that they have gotten the gifts that we have given them. Every year, we put out a very extensive thing. It's an overview of where all the money in the churches went. You can find that. That's why we give that out every year, every year, every year we give that out. Not just the money. That's not the most important thing in a church. Isn't it more important how many people are getting saved and lives that are being changed? Okay? But there was accountability. And so Paul said, listen, I'm not going to berate this thing. I'm just going to tell you, this is how it works. So let's get really practical. All for practicality. Say amen. Amen. Three things. We're going to wrap it up and we're going to take a huge offering when we're done. Number one. Our giving should be done systematically. First day of the week, when you come together, the point is a time, a specific time. You get paid, you cut a check, you pull out money, however you do it. You just say, this is what we're doing. You have a system. You're not erratic. You're not emotional. Generous people just don't give out of impulse or occasionally or when the urge hits you. Imagine if you paid your bills that way. Well, I got an urge to pay my cell phone bill. I never get an urge to pay my bills. You might get a final notice. Okay? Aren't you glad God doesn't do final notices? Say amen. Some of us would be in big trouble, right? Don't look at your neighbor and say anything at this point, all right? God be systematically. Say, this is when we're doing it. Number two, our giving should be done corporately. Everybody, let every one of you, everyone kind of includes everybody, doesn't it? Okay. Why? Because in 2 Corinthians, in the second letter, he says, if there's first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath. Look, not according to what? What he hath not. Now, for I mean not, notice carefully, I mean not that other men be eased and you be burdened. It's not right that in a church, 50% are carrying the load. Is that right or wrong? Let's try that again. Right or wrong? Wrong. Okay. He said, I can't give as much as this couple. I know where they live and what they make. God's not interested in that. He's saying everybody give according to what you what? Have, not according to what you don't have. Say, well, I can't give as much as them, so I won't give. That's like going to a buffet and saying, I can't eat everything, so I'm going to eat nothing. Listen, eat something at the buffet, right? Give something to the Lord. That was so pathetic. Give something to the Lord. All right, that's better. Why? Look what he says. By an equality. That now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, and their abundance also may be a supply for your want. There's an equality, as it is written. He that had gathered much had nothing left over, and he that gathered little had no lack. Here's the point. Everybody helps. Do you know what the biblical truth is? When you hoard it, you lose it. Listen to what Proverbs says. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and that withholdeth more than is meet, but the liberal poverty. You hold back more than you should. You spend more on yourself. It makes you poor. The liberal soul shall be made what? So you're like, now I know why. No. The liberal soul. And he that watereth shall be watered also, what? Himself. He that trusteth in his riches shall, say it. But the righteous shall flourish as a branch. Here's the last one. Our giving should be done proportionately. As God has prospered him. Look, you guys are amazing. We have an amazing church. Do you know that? We do have amazing people. I had so many people commenting and complimenting our church yesterday. God has prospered us as a people. Some of you, listen carefully, some of you have been very prospered by God. Some of us may not be in that category. But we give out of what we have and in accordance to what we've earned. If you made $20 this week and you give $5, that's a lot of money. If you made $100 this week and you gave $5, come on, right? The amount is the same, but proportionately it's off. Our giving needs to be directed toward the things of God and designated to specific things. Missions, missions work, the church, just like the churches in Macedonia. This is a biblical principle. And you're disciplined in your giving. This is something we're going to do. Years ago, something happened in our life and we found ourselves a little bit tight. How many of you know what it means to say when you're financially tight? How many of you know what it means to be financially strapped? Right, you look in your checkbook and you're like, man, this is hilarious. You have to laugh, otherwise you'd cry. Right? And that happened to us, and I was like, then, all right, God, now you know I've been faithful a long time. You ever start trying to convince God of how good you've been? You'd be all right if I shave a little off. And God's like, be all right if I shave a little off? I'm like, Lord, you already done enough shaving around here. Right? I said, God, it's hard. We're not where we used to be. We don't have what we used to have. And God's like, I'm not asking you to give what you used to have. I'm just asking you to trust me and give what you can. I want you to understand this morning. Circumstances never determine our giving. Character does. It's not your circumstances. You say, I'm on a fixed income. I'm on Social Security. I get it. This isn't the issue. The issue is your character. If I'm generous, I'm going to give to the things that God loves and that Jesus died for, and that's His church, because I believe that the most important thing I can do is invest my money in all of eternity. And if you're a faithful giver, guess what? There's fruit in your account, because yesterday we had precious souls come into the kingdom. We had lives changed. Basket after 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 basket went out the door. 108 baskets. 108 turkeys. That's a lot of bird. We had a part in that. And I stood at the door and I said, hey, I'm glad you came and I love you. God bless you. Come see us. And shook their hand and prayed with lots of them and talked with lots of them. And here's the thing. That's an exciting thing. That's awesome. I want to let you in on a little secret as we close. Here's the secret. No. For I tell you, only generous people know this. But I'm going to let everybody know now. Ready? Generous people give knowing that they're not giving to get something in return, but as a way of returning and reflecting God's grace and the love to others. They just want to show the goodness and the grace and the love of God. They want to bless the church. They want to bless the poor. They want to bless their family. They want to bless their friends. They're just generous people. Why? Because Jesus has taken over their life, and the generosity that is in them runs through them and it comes out of them, and they just can't help it. And by the way, they actually believe the words of Jesus that says it's more blessed to...
Thank you again for listening to this audio sermon. We pray that it has been a blessing to you. For more sermons or if you have any questions, log on to www.fbcbelong.com.